Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this day, which celebrates the Solemnity of All Saints. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear the Gospel from St. Matthew and read and discuss the Word of Life for November. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Let peace, then still the strife. Featuring Fauré's Requiem. We'll title the revival of the Cathedral Concert Series on Saturday, November 7th at 7:30 p.m. in Corpus Christi Cathedral, 505 North Upper Broadway. This event, featuring a festival of voices and orchestra, will celebrate hope in these troubled times. This magnificent requiem will honor those who've died due to COVID-19. Other works, including Mac Wilberg's Let Peace, Then Still the Strife, highlight themes of hope amidst despair, while selected pieces by Handel and Bach acknowledge the pain of our sometimes difficult existence before bursting into joyful hope. For limited seating information, pandemic protocols, and other information about this return of the Cathedral Concert Series, please visit cathedralconcertseries.com.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop. It's so nice to see you this morning. How have you been?
Good morning. Very well. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful also.
Yeah, good.
Like that we're in fall.
Full force.
Full force.
That's right. And hurricane season behind us, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
No surprises.
Right. Hopefully. Exactly. You know, it's been a while since All Saints' Day has fallen on a Sunday, so it's a very special gospel this morning.
Yes, there's certain of our feast days or solemnities, such as All Saints, and they take precedence over the Sunday that's normally celebrated on these days. So there's a few of these. So today is a special day for all of us to come together and commemorate all the saints, past, present, and even future, hopefully, although they're still with us, but
Right. Recognize
them also.
Right, exactly. So as I mentioned, the gospel this morning is from St. Matthew. If we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
This is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 1 to 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples gathered around him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Bishop, I think I told you when we were talking about this in the beginning, the minute I saw this gospel, it brought back such beautiful memories of my pilgrimage in the Church of the Beatitudes and how beautiful it was. And I get chills thinking about it right now. It was just this very, very special place.
Yeah, it is on the shores of the Sea of Galilee and just imagining the life there at the time, very peaceful. And Jesus coming and people gathering around him to listen. So it's a beautiful place and, of course, a beautiful message, more than a message, a truth that he unveiled there. In fact, the whole part of that chapter, both 5, 6, and 7, is called the Sermon on the Mount. So there's many directives, really, explanations of who we are as followers of Christ. So it's a beautiful. People sometimes say, where should I go to read? How do I begin reading the Bible? And I think one of the places that's very fundamental for us are those three chapters of St. Matthew's Gospel, 5, 6, and 7. And this is the beginning of it. So it's a beautiful introduction to the Christian life.
Mm-hmm. Because the Beatitudes, you know, they describe the mindset and prioritize all the opportunities and activities we need to do to be destined for eternal life with God.
Yes, and of course the word just blessed or blessed is that happiness, that fulfillment. We all look for a fulfillment in life, and we run after many things, transitory things, things that may give us a certain pleasure, not so much happiness, but a pleasure in a moment, but not something that's beatific, something that helps us to see God and to experience God in our life. So these Beatitudes really introduce us to the true life, the true blessedness, the true happiness, the true joy, the true freedom that we all seek. And so without these as kind of a foundation to life, to a Christian life, we get disappointed. We may set our compass on just simple moral values or the letter of the law, which we see St. Paul speaking against, because it doesn't give us freedom. It doesn't give us joy. But these do. And so really to live in the light of Jesus, to live his truth, this is what is so basic for us. And this is what he taught those early people sitting around him at the place where you visited on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and just said, this is the way to live. And I think more than ever, they are appropriate for us today. So
if you could explain, blessed are the poor in spirit, how could we decipher that?
I think the gospel comments on itself. In other words, where else in the gospel can we take something that helps us to understand that? We could go to where Jesus says you can't serve two masters. And so we do. We try to serve ourselves in the present time. So what is accumulating things or doing things that are only pleasurable to me and may eliminate others? So poor in spirit is really placing our hearts on the things that are eternal. So in other words, go back, says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So when our spirit, which is the center of our being, is not weighed down by transitory things or events, or that we put all of our eggs, as we say, in one basket here on earth, but our eyes, our minds, our hearts are fixed on eternity. And that's something that we have lost sight of radically in life today. We live for the now. We live for the present, what I can get now. And, of course, our society fosters that. So our economy, everything fosters that so dramatically to build up the kingdom here on earth, forgetting or ignoring, perhaps, the kingdom that is forever in heaven. So our spirit, where is our spirit? We're in another place where Jesus says, where your heart is, there your treasure is. Or where your treasure is, there's your heart, there's your spirit. So if all we do is live for the now, then our spirit's going to be weighed down by the worries, the concerns of the now. If our spirit lifts up to the treasure that is heaven, which is before us always, then we find a new attitude of life. And this is who the saints are. They serve God and they serve their neighbor very fundamentally. But because they were poor in spirit, they were not weighed down by the here and now only, but they had their hearts fixed on God, on eternity.
I was having a conversation with somebody about some volunteer work that I've been doing, and the term I used, and I don't know if this would be considered poor in spirit, but I said, this work feeds my soul.
Yes. And another word I think that could be used is humility.
Yes.
Because whoever exalts themselves will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted, which is the word of life we had last month. And so how do we exalt ourselves in that commentary? When we become greedy, we're exalting ourselves. So we're not humble in spirit. We've exalted ourselves. Or when we expect from other people or entitlements, which is kind of the word of the day, when we feel that we are entitled to something, we're not poor in spirit. We're not humbled. We're proud. When we complain, that's kind of a characteristic of so many of us. We complain about even the littlest of things mm-hmm. so that there's something in this moment that's displeasing to me, and I let it be known. I'm exalting myself, so I'm not poor in spirit. The Christian, I think at the center of the Beatitudes has to be the cross. So, yeah, there are things that we can complain about. There's things that make me uncomfortable or that I find hard to deal with. Complaining about them is letting everybody know my position on something. Mm-hmm. The cross is where we find the grace to be poor in spirit, to live that cross, to live that difficulty that would have normally caused me to complain. But to be poor in spirit is to say, I want to carry this cross with Jesus Christ. That's the poor in spirit.
Mm-hmm. And this last line, we could probably talk about this for a long time. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. That's tough.
It is, and I think it's more relevant today than ever, because we are throughout our life to identify ourselves with Jesus Christ. The one area that's the most difficult is the cross. Mm-hmm. We don't want to go up Calvary. We love to sit, with all respect for what you were saying, we love to sit on the Sermon on the Mount Hill and the beauty of nature, the beauty of the sea, and the beauty of what happened there. It's tough to go to Calvary.
Very tough.
Very tough. But what happened, Jesus going to Calvary, they insulted him, they persecuted him. For what? For the truth. Because the truth, which sets us free, is always in opposition to another mentality which says, I want it all here and now. It's mine. Being selfish, possessive. So living in that conflict, which we're living in now, I mean, look at us. Look at us. Voting coming up, the final day of voting coming up. Mm-hmm. But look at what has happened to our country and to our world. Mm-hmm. We don't like to be persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ, but there is our truth. There is our life. And so blessed are those who, when they insult you, they persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me, rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. There's always more for the Christian. Now, this doesn't mean we don't speak the truth. We don't speak what will help people be free too. But ultimately, we're going to be persecuted, laughed at, insulted, shunned by a world that doesn't want to hear the simple things of God.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for November. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
For over 50 years, Catholic Charities, often with the help of various agencies, has provided Christmas food baskets to area families and individuals in need. For most of that time, Toys for Tots has assisted with gifts for needy children in those families. Now through November 25th, Catholic Charities will accept applications from area residents for their legendary Christmas food baskets and toys. Through Toys for Tots, Bishop Mulvey will bless the people and baskets on Tuesday, December 15th, and distribution of the baskets will follow. To register your family, visit the offices of Catholic Charities, 615 Oliver Court in Corpus Christi, between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Monday through Thursday. For more updated information, call 361-884-0651 or visit catholiccharities-cc.org. Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi, providing help, creating hope.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. This is the first Sunday in November, and we have another beautiful Word of Life. And I had prepared the Word of Life before I did the Gospel in my prep, and oh, how surprised I was.
Yes.
That it matches
up
so
perfect. Well, it's always been for years that they've taken some sentence from the readings of that month, from the liturgical readings, and use that for their Word of Life. So it's in sync with the church, in sync with the readings that we have. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's one of, it's the second of the Beatitudes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So for November 2020, the Word of Life is, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Is there anyone who has not mourned at some time during his or her life? Is there not anyone who has not known another person whose sorrow has overflown into tears? Nowadays, the media brings images from all over the world into our homes, and we risk becoming so accustomed to seeing suffering that we could become indifferent towards the river of pain that seems to surround us. There were times when Jesus himself wept. We can see John 11:35 or Luke 19:41. He also witnessed the tears of his people who suffered as a consequence of the foreign occupation of their land. Many people flocked to him, the sick, poor, widows, orphans, sinners, people everyone else avoided. They wanted to hear his word and be healed in body and soul. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is the Messiah who fulfills God's promise to Israel. And for this reason, he proclaims, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Jesus is not indifferent to our tribulations and sufferings. He wants our hearts to be healed from the bitterness of selfishness. He wants to fill our loneliness and to give us strength in all we do. This is what the founder of the Focolare Cherubic wrote in a commentary on this gospel phrase, quote, "With these words, Jesus does not want to lead people in sorrow toward an attitude of simple resignation by promising them a reward in the future. He is thinking about the present. In fact, his kingdom is already here, even if not definitively so. It is present in Jesus, who has overcome death by rising again after dying in great affliction. It is also present in us, in our hearts as Christians. God is in us. The Trinity dwells within us, and so we can already experience the happiness that Jesus promised. Sufferings remain, but there is new energy to face the trials of life and to help others who are struggling in some way. There is new strength to overcome sufferings and to see and welcome them as a means of redemption, as Jesus did. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." We can learn from Jesus how to be witnesses and be instruments of the Father's tender and creative love for everyone. His teaching is the beginning of a new world, where the very roots of our coexistence are healed. It attracts God's presence among us, and this is an inexhaustible source of consolation that dries every tear. Lena and Philippe from Lebanon shared their experience with friends from their community who are living in other parts of the world. Dear friends, thank you for your very special Easter wishes this year. We are well, and we are careful not to expose ourselves to the virus. However, we are on the front line at an organization that helps families in need in Lebanon, irrespective of race or religion, to become self-sufficient. And so we cannot stay at home all the time. We go out about every 2 days to ensure the urgent needs of some families can be met. They need money, clothes, food, medicine, etc. Even before COVID-19, the economic situation in the country was very difficult, and now, Like everywhere in the world, it has worsened. But providence is not lacking. Last week, a Lebanese man who now lives abroad sent us some money. He asked Lena to ensure that 12 families have proper meals 3 days a week for the whole month of April. This was a beautiful confirmation of the love of God, who is never outdone in generosity. You know, these experiences always bring God's word to life.
Yes.
Sometimes we read it and we say, isn't that beautiful? And we do nothing about it.
Right.
So the whole practice of the word of life is to take these words and look around us and experience in what's already there in front of us how these words come to life. And so in the COVID-19, I'm sure many of us, if we thought about it in terms of the gospel, could find that we have had moments of mourning with those who are mourning and reaching out to them, doing things for them. And the difference is not to just do it as a service project, but as a real act of love. It's an act of the gospel. It's an act of truth. It's an act of God through us, working in and through us towards others. And that's what gives us joy, and that's what helps us to comfort others and also to find that same comfort ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think during this time, people have gotten to know their neighbors better and mm-hmm. check in on the ones that are a little older and share meals yeah. because yeah. everyone's cooking more, sharing meals. And
not that we want a pandemic to no. cause that, but certainly no. there's always something that's beautiful and positive mm-hmm. in the midst of difficulties. And I think this is what the Word of God, which is a light to our steps, can help us to illumine our day, and not just to be that our mourning does not collapse into despair,
right.
but that there's a light there through love, through reaching out to others who are mourning with us, and to reach out to their needs first and foremost.
And such an awareness of so many of the people in our community that perhaps we've taken for granted the work that they do. Now they're essential workers, and we look at them and thank them
yeah.
so much, because without them, the economy, we would have stopped.
Yeah, and what you were saying in the break with me is that we're never going to go back to anything. We have to make better sense and to do better with what is today. Post-COVID, post whatever experience, whoever's going to be elected this coming week, we have to live in the world as it is, not some kind of fairy tale world where we think everything can be different or go back to what was. But this is where I think, to say something about this coming week with the elections, we have got to pull together. Mm-hmm. I don't care who we are. Rich, poor, this side of town, that side of town, educated, uneducated, black, white, brown, Hispanic, Asian. I mean, we are the people of God. And to know that we're all in this together, and that's where we say, blessed are those who mourn. We're all mourning in one way or another. Mm-hmm. But that can be a common denominator for us, that we're all human beings. We're all loved by God, no matter who we are. We all have the obligation, which, by the way, we're continuing masses again today under obligation, not as a law. We don't have a law to love our neighbor or to come and love God at mass. We have the obligation to love. That's mm-hmm. our obligation. To obligation to love God, to be present to one another, to love our neighbor, especially those who are mourning,
right.
those who are different than we are. You know, I was reading this the other morning with some bishop friends of mine, a meditation actually from Kiara Lubick about enlarging our hearts to the measure of Jesus. Jesus embraced the entire world. Not those who thought like he did, not those. That's because that's why he sat at the table of the tax collectors. Mm-hmm. That's why he called Zacchaeus down and went and sat with him. That's why he walked up to the woman at the well who was a Samaritan. He enlarged love. He showed that love embraces everyone. And if we are to be truly human beings, we need to have that same enlarged heart. And I think the troubles that we're going for now is an opportunity. So we can see it very negatively if we want, but I think with the Beatitudes that we read earlier for the gospel today and this word of life for this month, it's an opportunity for us to enlarge ourselves, mm-hmm. to make us better people. We can't go back to the way it was with in 1950, you know, when I grew up and things were there. But it doesn't have to be worse. It can be different. We can, but it takes all of us to enlarge ourselves to be the people that God wants us to be today in 2020 and then 2021 and so on and so on. But we have to be able to see each other as a brother and sister. Mm-hmm. And I say that on all sides, not just one side or another. It takes everyone to do that.
And it's going to be a lot of work.
Well, it is, but it's also day by day. It's Absolutely. Not something, let's not eat the entire cookie in one day. Let's do it day by day, person by person, and just be love for each other. Mm-hmm. I'd like to, as we conclude, say the prayer that we have for the pandemic, because I know that we're still in the middle of it. I don't want us to think that we've forgotten about it.
Yeah, because we're getting pandemic wary.
Right. So let's conclude with that prayer that we've been praying. Father of boundless mercy, to show your love for all humanity, you sent your only begotten Son as our Redeemer and Healer. Through him, we can place before you all we need, and you will be faithful and respond. With steadfast confidence in this promise, we come before you again during this COVID global pandemic and ask you that you grant strength and courage to all of us, healing to those who are suffering due to the virus, hope to those who are afraid and weary, comfort and reassurance to families whose loved ones are sick and suffering, peace and consolation to families whose loved ones have died from the virus. Guide and protect all doctors, nurses, researchers, and all medical professionals, and give eternal life and the fullness of love to those who have died due to the virus and other ailments. Together with Mary, Mother of the Church, we call upon the intercession of Saint Joseph, hope of the sick and pillar of families, to obtain for us the graces we need to be salt of the earth and light for the world in this time of darkness and doubt. We place all of these needs at the feet of your divine Son, Jesus Christ, who with the Holy Spirit lives and reigns with you forever and ever. Amen. May Almighty God bless us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week, and please stay safe and healthy.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.